Shortly, I spoke to Rabbi Micha Berger. Rabbi Micha Berger is the founder of an organization called the Esh Das Society. It's a synthesis of the Esh of inspiration and faith and the Das of the full halachic observance to create a Judaism that both fully is and yet is greater than either of the parts. And since I read it directly from what I was given, I presume that's correct, right?
Yeah, in fact, I was going to say, I couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah, you didn't, because actually I just read it right off. So, okay, so now that I've read it, I'll tell you the truth. I'm trying to figure out exactly what it does, so I guess you could help me. Go ahead.
Okay. The Rav lamented on a number of occasions the end of what he called the Erev Shabbos Jew, the feeling that you can anticipate Shabbos coming, that you didn't just observe halacha, but you actually felt it in your bones that there was a religious life.
Mm-hmm.
A few of us had gotten together and felt that we wanted to change ourselves. And in order to do so, we sort of needed a peer group of other people interested in imbuing some religious feeling, some passion to the Yiddishkeit that we keep every day. And so we founded Esh Das. It's really, I mean, that's what I'm talking about. The Esh is that kind of trying to grab the notion of passion. Das is it's used in the Megillah to refer to ritual. Yodei Das Vadin, the people who know the law and the ritual. And when the two are combined together in the Torah, it's written as one word, which is really neither alone. It's a word in and of itself.
So Esh Das means in the Torah somebody who is a passionate, observant halachic Jew?
The Esh Das of the Torah in Zos HaBaracha,
mm-hmm,
it's Mimi no Esh Dat Lamo.
Right
from his, it's described as Rashi as the black fire on top of white fire of the supernal Torah.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and that was the word that I grabbed for a name, and I did because I felt that fire is sort of missing. We kind of have a law book with no fire in it.
Okay, I think that's a good point. Okay, I think a lot of people do things by rote today. That's what I see.
Rote ain't so bad either. I mean, it beats not doing anything.
Oh yeah, no, there's no question about that. So okay,
right.
So how do you go about and do this? I mean, do you have publications, lecture series? How do you get people? And also, is this really meant basically for the Frum community, right?
This is meant for somebody who has been Orthodox long enough,
okay,
that they feel they're falling into rote. This could either be the yeshiva graduate who misses,
right,
the old experience, the NCSY alumnus who's now in their 40s. I mean, I think it's non-coincidental that the founding members were approaching middle age.
Okay.
Right? It's that kind of wondering where we're going with things.
So in other words, you've been doing it all your life, and now it's kind of, we use the word rote, but you're saying it's kind of on, you know, your religion's kind of on automatic pilot.
Yeah, it's like a culture. It's a reflexive reaction as opposed to a,
mm-hmm.
I mean, wouldn't it be nice if once in a while when we said Shema in the morning, cramming it in before getting to work, we actually accepted the yoke of heaven?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, as opposed to once a year on Yom Kippur.
Now, why do you think it's happened? I mean, first of all, is this something you think has always been around and you just experienced it? Or do you think it's something which is just relevant to our generation?
I would probably say they're both true. I would say that it's always been around, but our generation has it worse than most.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things our generation does not have that most generations do is a legacy.
Mm-hmm.
We're still in a rebuilding phase. There is no American minhag. There's no American Orthodox culture. There's no history. There's no real feel on the street. So it's kind of harder for us to maintain depth. We are also currently in a society where we just don't teach these things. I mean, when you study Gemara, you sort of skip all those narratives in which these kinds of truths are encoded. We've just we're in a culture that's very deeper learning tends to be analysis of halachic process. It's not an analysis of meaning.
Mm-hmm.
So you sort of, you know, I would say we're in a position that exacerbates the problem that's always been with us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So how do you overcome it? So what do you do?
Well, our original intent was just to be a self-supporting group, not really looking at outreach programs, et cetera. It was just a matter of, you know, several, you know, friends getting together, or several people who became friends getting together, and just making sure that we have the culture for ourselves, you know, for our own development. At this point, we've been invited to a number of synagogues to run Shabbatonim for their membership. We do have the electronic fora operating off our website.
So first of all, what is your website?
Well, hdust.org is predominantly at this point a launching pad for email lists. We do have a number of Divrei Torah, like many websites along the world, and
so people could download it if they go. So if someone goes to your website, they could see a Divrei Torah on a topic. They could download that,
right?
Or they could play it on the computer, obviously. Right?
Well, it's more text than audio.
Oh, it's text. It's not okay.
Text. It's not audio.
Oh, gotcha.
And what really dominates our activity though is discussion, not published Divrei Torah.
So you go into synagogues. Synagogues invite you to come in to really spend the Shabbos to enrich the people in the synagogue, to put more passion back into their Judaism. Is that it?
Right.
Okay.
Our approach tends to be often pulling from the tools of Lithuania and the Musar movement. So that our typical program will revolve around a list of midot, such as we will have a program on menuchas ha-nefesh, right? How to maintain equanimity and tie it into Shabbos. And actually, we have a format that combines both a class and an actual practicum where people apply the material to their own lives. We try to never let a session end without something practical that the person could carry and actually follow doing the next day.
Okay.
It's not that much of a shadchan, of an introductory service, as a point where you can shout in the room and bound to be heard by somebody who's going to want to answer.
Okay, I got you. Okay, and you add new topics all the time. Is that what it is? Or things like that?
Well, yeah. I mean, and people just in that own format will be adding a topic all the time.
Okay.
Because he's now going to have replies, and that just adds to the collection.
I got you. Very nice. Very, very interesting.
Right. We're really trying, though, to do more live activities and less electronic activities, because we really feel we've gotten about as much life-changing activity as you could get from electronic media.
Right, so I'm saying what?
Emails don't change people's
lives. Can't
life.
You set up, let's say, a chat room, but a real... Let's talk about what I said before. Okay, so, you know, I go to some of these topics, they look really interesting, and there's somebody who is more of an expert on it than most people, okay, because they've just experiences, they've researched it, they've done whatever they've done. And now you have up to X amount of people who can call in to this conference call, and there's a moderator, and that moderator could then perhaps, you know, begin the discussions, and then the group can talk about it for an hour. And is that something that you're going to be doing down the road, do you think?
That is something that we are pricing, actually.
That's an exciting
thing. That is something we're actually already pricing.
Great.
So it's not just down the road. We're probably aiming early summer.
Beautiful. See, I think that's great. I think that's wonderful. I really do.
Right.
I think that's good, because I agree with you. I think that, you know, we've gotten to a certain point where, you know, people are looking for more passion, more spirituality, and they're moving towards that. And yet you were going to combine it with real Torah, which is important.
Right. There is actually a high level of interest outside of the Orthodox world in this
really?
Kind of activity.
Oh, interesting. Now, let me ask you, the shul, you live in Passaic, New Jersey, right?
Yes.
So the shul you daven in, does it give you the spirituality and passion and aish that you're looking for?
Better than some, not as much as if I were designing my own shul from scratch.
Okay.
But that's also a dream of mine someday. But then again, I think half of all congregants dream of starting their own synagogue. So
I live in the Five Towns, and there's a wonderful shul called Ish Kodesh in my neighborhood.
Yes, I'm actually quite jealous of Ish Kodesh.
Right, I'm saying there's a beautiful shul called Ish Kodesh, and I think a lot of the people who go to that shul go exactly for that reason. And you know, they do feel that they're coming away really inspired on the Shabbos. I see it. Week after week, I know some of these people, and they come away, and they can't wait for Shabbos. They literally can't wait for Shabbos, and they can't wait to be in the shul and daven in the shul and hear the Rav speak, and you know they're excited about the whole process, which is great, which is I guess something we should all strive for, right?
Well, yeah, I mean one of the things that I try to push is that we tend to be consumers.
Mm-hmm.
And what by which I mean people know what resources are out there. And obviously I'm talking, when I say we, I'm not talking to you personally since you're working in community work by definition. But in general, the typical...
I'm actually a businessman, but I'm the lay president of the organization. I devote a lot of time, but it's not the thing I do all the time.
Understood, but you're still way ahead of the majority who are not investing that time.
Right.
And then they are upset that the resources they want don't exist, or the resources aren't done the way they want to do them. Right? If people want more spirituality in their synagogue, then it's their job to provide that more spirituality in their synagogue. You know, we could complain about the way things are from today till tomorrow, or wait for somebody to provide it for us, and nothing will get started because we're all sitting around waiting for the other person to do
it. Agree. So you go out now also. How many people actually go out to visit shuls on a regular basis if they want a Shabbos, I guess, with an Eish Das, you know, person?
Well, we have resources of about a half dozen people.
Okay, that's good.
I would, again, like ideally to get to the point where the synagogue doesn't actually need us.
Okay.
Right, because the idea is not to create HDAS programs. It's to show people how to do it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You want people to be autonomously religious. You don't want them to have to come to you. So we would like to be able to run enough programs at a synagogue that the synagogue could then, you know, do it without us.
How long does it take for them to become independent?
I'll let you know when it happens.
Okay, it hasn't happened yet.
Okay, I could tell you that it takes more than four or five.
Okay, four or five sessions.
Yeah, more than.
Okay.
In other words, four or five did not do it yet. Of course, we're also honing our skills at teaching this, so hopefully we will have better rates in the future. But right now, I could tell you that.
Okay, well, listen, it sounds like you're really onto something which could be very exciting. And let's follow the progress of Eish Das and see where it goes. And, you know, hatzlacha to you. I think that now at least people on listening to the program know who you are. They can go onto the website. They could contact you if their shul is interested in getting involved. And let's see what happens. And that's one of the ideas behind the program, to make it informative for people so that, you know, if they have an interest, they know where to go.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Take care. Be well.
Okay, just one thing before we wrap up.
Could I
spell out my email address?
Your email
address is transliterated,
sure. Okay,
and people may not be able to guess.
Go ahead.
Okay, my name is Micha, M-I-C-H-A,
go ahead.
At Eishdas, A-I-S-H-D-A-S, that's one word, AISHDAS.org.
Good. Thanks a lot, okay?
Okay.
Be well. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Both these topics, acceptance and respect for others, and a passion for Judaism and religious practice, are integral to who we are today and where we are headed as Jews. What are your thoughts? Email me at stevesavitsky@ouradio.org. Until next time, this is Steve Savitsky, president of the OU, and your host sitting around the dining room table.